Last week we finished a series we were calling Homecoming, and now we're turning to a series on Sabbath. And really to guide us, if this is our home, we ought to know about it, and so we're going to use the windows in this first lower bank over here. If you're new to South Main, you can see in the windows upper and lower there's a cross, and where the beams come together there's a circle with a picture in it, and that's called a medallion. And in this first circle, there's a hand at the clouds with the power of God making its way out. We call that the creation window. This south bank of windows walks us in icon through the story of the Old Testament. So in these next 4 weeks, we're just going to look at these first four windows, and this week, the creation window. And its call, as Carrie has shared with us, which culminates in the Sabbath. And we need the Sabbath. We need Sabbath, rest, and worship. When the pandemic started, I remember people saying, as long as this only lasts 3 or 4 weeks, I can make it. And then when it kept going, I heard people say, as long as it's done by my summer vacation, I can make it. As long as we're finished before the kids go back to school, I can make it. As long as we're finished before Christmas, as long as we're finished before Easter. We got all the way back around to as long as we're finished before my summer vacation, I can make it. And it made me think about Stephen and Brittany Frazier's wedding. So the church up in Dallas, it was at Brittany's home church, and her pastor, as we were having the rehearsal, had really vivid instruction for the bridesmaids and the groomsmen who were standing on a stone platform. He said, now you're going to be standing for a while, and if you hear a voice in your head say, I can make it, you can't make it. Just go sit down. Strikes me that we have been trying to live from one imaginary endpoint to another. Which is to say, we've been trying to live our lives from the outside in. What's that strategy bought for us? Deloitte Canada came out with a survey on July 21st of this year, a survey of 1,200 CEOs and people one and two rungs below them in the organizational chart at large global companies. These are their findings. 82% of senior leaders around the world leave work every day physically or mentally exhausted. 49% are having trouble sleeping. 23% are actively considering resigning because of the stress of the world. In an earlier survey of 1,000 professionals, not at the top of the organization, spread throughout, 87% said they're passionate about the work they do, but 64% said that the constant stress of the office takes away the joy of the work so that they're just getting by. 83% said burnout from work is negatively affecting all the relationships in their lives. Sound familiar? Turns out, we were not made to live from crisis to crisis. We do not have it within us to live from one artificial deadline to another. There's just too much chaos in the world. We need a different rhythm for our lives. And it turns out on that front, I have good news. God literally built into the creation a pattern that promotes human flourishing. The creation itself was built on a sustainable pattern of work and rest and worship. God himself rested at the end of his work, and so we who are created in his image need to know that we have to have rest And we who are creatures need to know that our lives have to be built on worship. Which is to say, the Sabbath was literally created for us because we need it. You've heard it once. I want to share with you again just the first five verses of the first chapter of the book of Genesis. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn to page 1? It's all the way on the left side. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And there the scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." This is the word of the Lord. The first paragraph in the scripture says that way back there in the beginning, the whole world was tohu wabohu. Now, your English translation renders that formless and void, but I have always liked the Hebrew, tohu wabohu. One, because it's really fun to say. If you ever find yourself in a Pentecostal church and people begin speaking in tongues and you say tohu wabohu, you will fit right in. The thing about it is, we do not know what it means. It occurs in only two places in all the scripture, here and in Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4 says, "I looked and darkness covered the surface of the deep into the sky, and there were no stars, and everything was tohu wabohu." What does that mean? Put down formless and void. We don't have that one. We could have just as easily said dark and scary. Because darkness, we know something about. Do you know what's going on? Nope, I'm in the dark. Are you all right? Nope, I'm in a dark place. We know about darkness. And sometimes the world is dark and scary. Sometimes life is chaotic and crazy. And sometimes when we look out with the limited vantage point that we have in the dimness that's before us, it appears that there is no hope for the future. The Bible doesn't gloss over the fact that sometimes life is dark and scary and crazy and chaotic and can feel hopeless. And I want to suggest to you that from the very first paragraph of the scripture, the message of the Bible is both profound and simple. And it is this: if you want to escape the darkness of the fallen world, then you have to orient your life toward God. If you want to escape the darkness of the fallen world, and find the peace of God, then you have to orient your life toward the God of peace. And that means organizing our lives, organizing how we spend our lives in a way that calls us back to tend God's grace, to trust His word, and walk in His way. You see, in addition to speaking honestly about the darkness of the world, the Bible speaks hopefully about the activity of God to the tohu wabohu. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness. The light He called day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was a day. God literally made light so that we would have days and brightness and purpose and order and space, which means how we spend our days matter. The scripture opens saying that there is a daily rhythm for life, a pattern of living that promotes human flourishing. And here it is: there was evening and there was morning. That's it. It sounds like a small thing, doesn't it? But evening is supposed to come first. The Jewish Sabbath starts not at dawn, but at dusk. There was evening and there was morning. It sounds like such a small thing, but it's not a small thing. We all get it intuitively. What you do tonight will materially affect what you can do tomorrow. We just sent all of our kids off to college. They're going to find all kinds of exciting things to do. If you stay up till 3 in the morning talking about whatever the thing is you're going to talk about with the people on your hallway and show up for your 8 o'clock, you are not going to take good notes. This is why Parents' Weekend is the weekend before the first round of exams at every university in the nation. What you do tonight material affects what you can do tomorrow. That's simple, but there's a deeper truth. When you got up this morning, God was already halfway finished with what He's going to do today. That means it is not your job to kickstart the world. That means you're not responsible for the rotation of the earth and its distance from the sun. All you have to do is join in with what God is already doing in the world. We lived in Mississippi for 6 years, and sometimes we would have occasion to go see the river. And I have been to the Mississippi River when it is at flood stage. It is a mile across, 12 billion gallons of water an hour are making their way with force and speed to the Gulf of Mexico. Now imagine for just a minute that I got a little raft and I put myself out on the raft and we started going down the river together, and I said to myself, man, I am making things go. Nope. There's a force that's greater than we are in the world. There's the power of God at work in the world. We just join in with what God is doing. There is an astounding grace about that. God is at work in the world right now in powerful ways, and we are invited to join in with what God has already prepared for us. When we live from evening to morning, we live into the promise that God is taking our lives and making something beautiful with them. That God is at work in our lives, taking the chaos that finds its way to creep in and bringing order out of that, taking us from messy days to meaningful days, blessing the good and the bad, working with both what is marred and what is marvelous. So we can give God our whole hearts and not just the pretty parts. God is redeeming the whole world one person at a time, one life at a time, and God is doing that all the time. That is no small thing. There was evening and there was morning. When we adopt that as the daily rhythm of our lives, it changes the way we experience the world. There's another pattern, though. If you just turn to the end of this story, it ends in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. You heard it already. By the seventh day, God finished all the work of creating that He'd been doing. So on the seventh day, God rested from His work. God honored the Sabbath day and made it holy. Because on that day, God Himself rested from all the work of creation that He had been doing. God put into the world not just purpose for each day, but a pattern for all the days based on the Sabbath, a weekly gathering together with God's people. Somewhere along the way, we have bought into this idea that if we think long enough or if we work hard enough, we will make right all the problems in the world and things are going to turn out right. How's that working for you? We act as if there's something in this world onto which we can hold or which we can have or which we can procure or which we can possess, that if we just had that thing, we'd finally have security. That if we work hard enough or long enough, we can fix anything. But the world does not rest on our work. And we cannot work apart from holy rest. The Bible tells us that when God finished the work of creating, He rested. And God set this pattern of work and rest and worship into the very fabric of creation itself in both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. As the Ten Commandments are being recounted, we get honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Why is it that we're pretty sure thou shalt not murder is a commandment, but honor the Sabbath and keep it holy is optional? The Sabbath is that time where we discover we can trust God to run the whole world even without us. The Sabbath is a time where we find our value in being before God and with each other, and the great enoughness of that. There are places in your life where you have to earn your keep. And the Sabbath is a reminder that your worth is a given. You were created in the image of God. Your worth and dignity come from that. In Mark 2, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for us and not we for the Sabbath." He didn't say that because he thought, isn't that nice? They're working so hard, they just need a break every so often. He said that because the Lord Himself understood that we need a weekly reminder of who we are and whose we are. The Bible tells us that the peace of God comes from time spent with the God of peace. And worship calls us to immerse ourselves in the welcoming family of God, in the high calling of the kingdom of God, in the great drama of the Scripture, the story of God. Because our deepest and most profound need is to be connected to God through Christ and be connected to Him again through His people. Worship reminds us, as Max Lucado says, that God is with us. That the prophets weren't enough, that the apostles wouldn't do, that the angels won't suffice. That God sent more than miracles and messages. He Himself came. He sent His Son. And Jesus has been where you are. So Jesus knows how you feel right now. And if His life on earth doesn't convince you, then His death on the cross should do that. Worship confronts us with both the seriousness of our own sin and the gravity of God's grace, and reorients us to the way that God made us, the purpose for which He made us, our calling in the world. And when we spend time with God each day and every Sabbath, not only do we learn better who He is, we discover who we are. And when we know those things, no matter what the world does around us, we discover that we can live the sustainable pattern of work and worship and rest, and that our lives begin to flourish. Because we are living not from the outside in, but from the inside out, day by day, Sabbath by Sabbath, discovering God's grace and His calling in our lives. Well,